it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So Philly Karen and the guy who took the ball from the kid at the U.S. Open and, of course, the Coldplay couple. Why do we get so fixated with these things? What is it all about? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Great to have you with us today. The memes keep coming. The latest meme, Kevin Costner holding a ball from Field of Dreams and Philly Karen coming after his character. They just keep coming. It's great. It's fantastic. She is a dead ringer for America's mother-in-law. No doubt about it. She looks exactly like Elizabeth Warren. How is it that this video has racked up, 100 million views or something like that? And there have been several women who've been misidentified as the Philly Karen. A fan who was wrongly ID'd as the Philly's Karen thought the whole thing was kind of hilarious. Cheryl Richardson Wagner posted on Facebook on Saturday, "I'm not the crazy Philly mom, but I sure would love to be as thin as she is and move as fast, and I'm a Red Sox fan." But she was roasted, but people said it was her and it wasn't her. And there were all kinds of sightings of her. The Hamilton School District in New Jersey, where digital sleuths claimed the much maligned Phillies fan allegedly worked, also cleared the air on Saturday, saying it wasn't her as well. And there you go. But why do they, what is it about that we all get so interested and invested in this stuff? Like New York Post had a big spread. Coldplay mistress files for divorce, caught in the act. Married co-workers Kristen Cabot and Andy Byron were caught getting lovey-dovey at a Coldplay concert. Now she has filed for divorce from her husband, Andrew Cabot, who apparently, according to his, I think, second of three wives, is a big jerk. My theory is we're all getting a little exhausted by the news cycle, and these things are very welcome distractions. So whether it's the Philly Karen going up to that dad and taking the ball and just goes viral, or it's a distraction. It doesn't last long, although these things are lasting longer. It's kind of the same thing with Cracker Barrel too. The Cracker Barrel logo change was interesting. There's a number of Gen Z friends of mine that I know said the same thing. They said their generation was hankering for nostalgia, and Cracker Barrel represented that, and then for Cracker Barrel to do away with that for some generic postmodern aesthetic that has no feeling, no meaning whatsoever, and looks like it could be anything was the problem. I think there's also something too, which is that everybody now, not everybody, but there's a lot of people who are trying to take these moments and seize them and go viral. And if you can go viral in this day and age, you can make money. I mean, serious money. There's people that just make their living going viral. So there's that too. And now with AI, you can instantly take a picture and turn it into a video, turn it into a movie, turn it into whatever you want. And then, boom, you're off and running. And then it's just a matter of just distributing it. But no, I think that's probably what it comes down to, why it is that these things take on such a life of their own. But the incident worked out well for the kid, obviously, because he got a signed bat from Bader, met him, which was really, really cool as well. So that was good. I always say the Phillies are the classiest team in baseball, no doubt about it. Another climate change hysteria, busted, rising sea hysteria, debunked. That's right, debunked. Yet another hysteria, proven wrong. We were told that the seas would rise and would turn beachfront property for all of us living here and the Philly burbs. We'd have beachfront property. I always wondered, too, if the seas were rising, then explain to me why you have insurance companies that are still underwriting policies for homes that are on the Jersey Shore, and how it is that mortgages are still being handed out for these places, because it seems like a pretty bad investment if they were all going to be underwater. Yet another much-predicted climate change catastrophe turns out to be baseless, that worldwide sea levels are rising. It turns out they're not rising any faster than a century ago. For decades, complex climate change models have indicated global sea levels to be rising at twice or more the historic level. But until now, no scientists had bothered checking that against actual observed reality. While Dutch engineer Hessel Voortman and researcher Rob De Vos finally did. They did the work. Their peer-reviewed study in the Journal of Marine Science and Engineering, entitled A Global Perspective on Local Sea Level Changes, shows the models have gotten it completely wrong. They reviewed actual data on an average of a century of observations of 150,000 coastal locations across the planet to determine that sea levels this century will likely be about 6 inches, the same as last century. Oh, that's funny. I got another, just got another Philly's Karen meme as we're speaking. This one is her taking a frisbee from a dog. God. They reviewed actual data on an average of a century of observations at 150,000 coastal locations across the planet to determine that sea level rise this century will likely be about 6 inches, the same as last century. The models, which extrapolated from observations in the Antarctic only, plus a host of assumptions about how the oceans respond to rising global temperatures, suggested sea levels increasing by 1 foot to 3 feet by next year. No, by the year 2100. Indeed, Princeton University's Michael Oppenheimer, I don't know if he's any relation to Princeton's Robert Oppenheimer, but I'm guessing, yeah, because what are the odds, right? Predicted in 2019 that sea levels would rise by more than 34 inches by century's end. The Dutch researcher's first ever global study of sea level rise refutes those claims and raises a huge question of why no one else had bothered to test the predictions. As of 2020, they found the worldwide rise is only around 1.5 millimeters per year, far less than the 3 millimeters to 4 millimeters, which has been routinely reported in scientific literature and the general news media. I know why no one bothered to check, because research is dependent at the universities of everybody embracing climate change hysteria. So the minute you go out of your lane on that, then they go, no money for you. You want checky? Then you better go with hysteria. Otherwise, we cut off the funds. For his own uses, this is from the New York Post, as a hydraulic engineer working with flood protection and coastal infrastructure adaptation projects, Voortman 2 years ago checked actual data for the Netherlands and found it didn't match the global predictions. He was shocked to find that no one else was checking the model's claims against observed reality and set out at his own expense to do the global study. Don't expect the truth to set in fast. Later this month, they're going to have Climate Week. The propagandists will still keep telling everyone that climate change is producing a surge in extreme weather events, and the data does not bear that out. They outright lie about the death of the Great Barrier Reef, too. And this is supposed to justify a rush to bring carbon emissions to net zero, which requires drastically less use of fossil fuels and heavy reliance on wind and solar power. Yet such energy policies are insanely expensive, which is why nations like India and especially China keep building coal-fired electric plants, even as they pay lip service to the need for change. Chasing net zero has helped zero out economic growth in Western Europe and slam consumers in New York, New Jersey, and other states. But the deep ideological itch on the left, of course, especially in academia, is all about the apocalypse, the climate change apocalypse. And the need to stop the catastrophe requires huge state interventions in the economy, which, of course, is what I've always told you, which is it's really about socialism more than anything else. And you push the sky is falling and you scream about climate change. And there's really nothing anyone can do about it anyway, even if the climate is changing, which I'm sure it is, because climate changes all the time. But they tell you that you can do something about it. Nobody really knows what that is. Drive an electric vehicle, you have to plug into a grid. But that supposedly helps. I don't know how, but It's not about that. It's about controlling the means of production. It always has been. It's always been about the economy and not about the climate. Voortman and DeVos have done landmark work in debunking one of the most common claims about catastrophic man-caused climate change. I don't really think it should be called man-caused. If anything, I blame women. This is just me personally. There's always a woman to blame, and I think they're at fault. If anyone's causing climate change, it's the ladies, the hairspray. Although maybe they took out the CFCs. What was it, chlorofluorocarbon-whatevers? I think they took those out of hairspray when I was a kid. I don't know. All I know is that being a kid in Jersey in the 80s and 90s, there's a lot of hairspray. So I'm sure that my life expectancy will be cut by at least 7 years from all that I've inhaled. Voortman and DeVos have done landmark work in debunking one of the most common claims about catastrophic woman-caused climate change. But with all the interest served by pushing that false narrative, they're far less likely to win a Nobel Prize than to be drowned by a rising tide of hate. Excellent piece written by the Post editorial board. I'll just say that you want money, you got to push this. Just like if you want money, you had to push that COVID came from a wet market, not the lab. You always have to do this stuff, obviously. That's how it has to be. You have to push whatever the elites want you to push. Otherwise, you're put out to pasture. So that they can say, well, the vast consensus of scientists say. The vast consensus of scientists all say. And then they will find an outlier. Like Michael Schellenberger, who did the documentary on the massive wind monstrosities, who pointed out that the piling that is happening is causing the whales to go crazy because of the sonar, and they're losing their friggin' minds, you know? But that will be said to be, well, it's the consensus of scientists is that that's not occurring. It's the same thing with dudes being women or playing in women's sports. When Michael Gladwell comes out and goes, well, you know, it would be very different now than it was then because society's changed. It's not that society's changed. It's that brave people stood up to the lie that was told by society. People like Paula Scanlon and others, they pushed back against that lie. But don't think for a second, though, that it's going to change. I mean, it's why they hate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. so much. He challenges conventional norms. And for the left, it's all about control. It's all about censorship and control so that they can push their narratives. And so much of this is tied to economics and research grants, et cetera, et cetera. And you start to see that with this intersection of pharma and the health care issues in this country. And the minute that you start turning around and saying, well, why do we have so much sickness? And then questioning things, the pushback you get. And don't forget, he's also about to go after Tylenol and questioning whether or not there's a link between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Now that's going to be, if that is in fact what happens, that's going to be a massive, massive, you talk about a bombshell if that actually is, that's what the Wall Street Journal reported on Friday. And they're trying to look into autism rates. On the one hand, you'd have people, I guess, taking a sigh of relief going, oh, so it's not vaccines. On the other hand, Tylenol has always touted itself as one of the most trusted drugs in the country. Of course, acetaminophen. I myself don't like using acetaminophen because of the liver issues. And no doubt about it, if you drink alcohol, you should not use Tylenol. I don't think there's any question about that these days. But I'm not a big fan of acetaminophen because of the whole liver issue. That's just me. I don't know. I'm not obviously telling you what to do. But what he said was, we have launched a massive testing and research effort that is going to involve hundreds of scientists from around the world. By September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic, and we will be able to eliminate those exposures. Friday's Wall Street Journal article comes as RFK Jr.'s self-imposed September deadline for the federal autism report nears. Back in April, the HHS secretary declared that he'd be starting a sweeping research effort to identify the cause of autism. Tylenol brand name, popular brand name for acetaminophen, which was approved back in 1951. A spokesperson for Kenvue told the Wall Street Journal that the health and safety of people who use its products are of top importance to the company. We have continuously evaluated the science and continue to believe there is no causal link between acetaminophen use during pregnancy and autism. We'll see if that comes out. That would be obviously a big groundbreaking story if that link does surface. That is the big story of the day, of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man who's going to give you the beautiful smile that you deserve. So go see him today. VanariaDental.com. Coming up, as we are all talking about the president and Chicago, he says, calm down. We're not going to war. We're just fighting crime. Don't go away.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, 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 baby. It is Monday. And before we get on the air today, breaking news that the United States Supreme Court has lifted the ICE raids in Los Angeles. That came out earlier today. So in case you're just joining us, basically the dissent from Justice Sonia Sotomayor saying it is un-American to do raids on people who are in this country illegally and who are, especially in this iteration of these raids, these are people who are, no question about it, criminals. So I don't really understand this, but nevertheless, the Supreme Court has ruled that this can continue. But of course, now Justice Sonia Sotomayor questioning by saying we should not have to live in a country where the government can seize anyone who looks Latino, speaks Spanish, and appears to have a low-wage job. It was a 6-3 decision. I don't think that that's what they're doing, but nevertheless. So the raids can continue in Los Angeles, and I don't understand why they couldn't continue, because you're going after people who are undocumented or in this country illegally without documents. The undocumented thing is so stupid. It's not a matter of not having your documents on you. They're going after you because you're in this country illegally. Another big story today is that 9/11 cancer toll is up 143%. As we are getting ready this week to look towards 9/11, the number of first responders and others diagnosed with 9/11-linked cancers has ballooned to 48,579, a staggering 143% increase in 5 years, according to the latest data from the World Trade Center Health Program. Skin, prostate, and breast cancer top the list, along with melanoma, lymphoma, leukemia, and cancers of the thyroid, kidney, lung, and bladder, all believed to have been triggered by toxins at Ground Zero and the Fresh Kills landfill on Staten Island. Remember when Christy Todd Whitless said the air was fine to breathe? Do you remember that back then? The cancer surge is attributed in part to the advancing age of the population of Ground Zero responders, with most now in their late 50s and 60s. Well, in their 70s, too. I mean, my dad, his group of guys, they're in their 70s. We know that the population is aging, so we can predict that the number of cancers is going to go up, said Dr. Stephen Markowitz, an occupational medicine expert at Queens College. In addition, the WTC health program has had a significant increase in enrollment since 2017, with 2024 being a record year that saw the highest number of new members, more than 10,000 to date. We'll continue to see an increase in cancer and other serious conditions that have longer latency periods. The CDC counts 8,215 World Trade Center enrollees who have died, God, including 5,844 responders as of March 27th. As of this week, 3,767 members who died, including 2,388 responders, had cancer. The total eclipses the 2,977 people killed in 9/11. Very important to remember this, that there's the tragedy of the initial deaths and then this ongoing tragedy that continues for the first responders. And a lot of these deaths have also been suicide. There's also mental health issues. I mean, it's just – it's a mess. It's a horrible mess. Retired NYPD officer John DeVito of Bellport, Long Island, worked at both Ground Zero and Fresh Kills, where he and other cops sifted through debris without wearing masks. They had a bulldozer lay out debris. We went through it with rakes. He was diagnosed with esophageal cancer on March 13, 2020, and underwent a half dozen rounds of chemo before having part of his esophagus and stomach removed. Everybody said everything was safe. He was in his late 20s at the time and is now a grandfather of a one-year-old named Charlotte. Retired NYPD officer Glenn Tarantino, 62, worked on the pile in the days after the attacks, passing buckets of debris out of the mountains of rubble. He said every once in a while, you'd look in the bucket and you'd see a hand or another body part. With all the dignity it deserved, we take the body part over to the medical examiner's office. He remembers officials insisting the air was safe. Then EPA Commissioner Christy Todd Whitless stood up there and said there's nothing wrong with the quality of the air. A short time later, FEMA began handing out boxes of N95 masks. The masks would turn black in an hour, he said. He was diagnosed with 9/11-related prostate cancer in 2020, called the cancer numbers insane. Phil Rizzo, a 69-year-old retired Department of Correction Emergency Services unit captain, spent weeks on the pile, arriving right after the towers fell. There was so much ash falling, it looked like it was snowing. We weren't really prepared. We had work gloves and baseball caps. At the end of the first day, the Red Cross washed out their eyes. Our unit worked 12-hour tours 7 days a week. He was diagnosed with head and neck cancer in 2023. I've always stayed in shape and did everything properly, he said. It looks like little by little it's getting most of us who work there. FDNY EMT Yvonne Sanchez was on the pile from the beginning to the end about 10 months, she said. Mother of two was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2013 despite having no family history of the disease. She said it went from stage one to stage two in 3 months. She and Tarantino are among several first responders who plan to go to Washington, D.C. this week to push for extended health care for 9/11-related illnesses. Unfortunately, it's another fight for funding, she said, and it's exhausting. So we had 2,977 people killed on the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks. It's a mistake in the New York Post. Look at that. 48,579 cancer cases among 9/11 responders and exposed workers, residents, and students. 8,215 people with 9/11-related illnesses have died. 2,295 have died of cancer. Most reported cancers: non-melanoma skin, 15,500. Prostate, 10,920. Breast, 4,190. Melanoma of skin, 3,240. And lymphoma, 2,190. So, obviously, as we get ready to remember this week, we have to keep that in mind. No doubt about that. It's hard to believe that Zora Mandami could become the mayor of New York City. I was thinking about this when you had Eric Adams come out and said Andrew Cuomo is a snake. He has a long history of stopping black people from running for office, playing the R word against his fellow Democrat. Now, there's no doubt Cuomo's a snake, and we all know that. Guy's definitely a snake. Is New York City going to go with Mandami? I mean, yeah, probably. It's just amazing that that could happen. Isn't it something? It's amazing. Every time you think to yourself, it's not possible that things could get worse, but they do. And yeah, look, I'm of the belief that sometimes things have to hit rock bottom. And this may be that rock bottom moment. You know, this may be that rock bottom moment that we're all talking about for them. I mean, watching that guy up there with Bernie Sanders over the weekend, seeing how many people were protesting in D.C., and they were mostly white liberals probably with college degrees, who are protesting, fighting crime in D.C. They don't have to worry about crime. You know what I mean? It's like, it's that stuff that I go, ah, maybe we got to hit rock bottom. Maybe the Democrat Party has to hit rock bottom. It's that conversation that I always have with my buddy Dana Perino. Has the Democrat Party hit rock bottom yet? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. Bernie wants to know what the Democrat Party is afraid of. Why aren't they backing Zoran Mandami? Huh?
You know, in the old days, I mean, money has always played an enormous role in politics. Nothing new about that. But in the old days, they kind of kept it secret. Right now, you got people like Bill Ackman and others saying openly, front pages of the newspapers, we will spend as much as it takes to defeat this guy. You have the President of the United States working to make it harder for him to get elected. So what are these people, these oligarchs, afraid of?
Oligarchs.
Seems to be a nice guy. Dresses very nice.
Bernie, they're not afraid of his fashion. Is that what you think it is? Do you think it's the fashion police they're afraid of? He's not defunding the fashion police. No, he's defunding the police. That's what he wants to defund. If he was defunding the fashion police, that would be fine. I would have no issue with that. Be fine with me. As far as I'm concerned, we could all walk around in uniforms all day. Seems like a nice guy. Dresses nice. Where'd you get that anyway? Was that a Target? Or do you go to Burlington? Used to be Coat Factory back in the old days. Now just Burlington. I think it's bigger than that, Bernie. Again, I could be wrong here.
Beautiful smile.
You hitting on him? Are you hitting on this guy, Bernie? It's kind of awkward. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Of course not. Not saying there is. I'm just saying. Just a little weird. It got weird. Went to a weird place. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It just went to a weird place. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Unlike me, he's a pleasant guy.
Well, that is true. You are a nasty SOB, Bernie. Yelling about the oligarchy. That does, but that's exhausting. In your defense, that's exhausting for anyone.
What the hell are they afraid of? And what they are afraid of, brothers and sisters, is not
brothers and sisters.
Only the question of bringing justice to New York City. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of Mr. Mamdani becoming an example to what can happen all over this country.
Yes, very true. Yeah, they are afraid of a socialist running all over the country. No doubt about that. Because it's like how Bernie said at the beginning, they turned around and that money would be part of it, but they were kind of quiet about it. Socialism has always been part of the Democrat Party, but they were a little quiet about it. Now you have flat out communism where this cat's talking about city run grocery stores. So you're not hiding anything anymore. I'm just saying. Well, listen to that crowd. Very enthusiastic. That is music from the Fight the Oligarchy Town Hall in Brooklyn, New York, with Zoran Mandami. Fight the Oligarchy. So that brings you to Chicago, where you've got people who are out there. And D.C., and they were protesting against fighting crime. Yeah, and this is the thing. That whole audience was a sea of white liberals. That entire audience inside the Fight the Oligarchy tour in Brooklyn, much like the scene outside in the streets of D.C., it's all college-educated white liberals. That's the Democrat Party's base. That's what they got. That's all they got. So you scream oligarchy. And you turn around and you hear the cheers and the young people love this and they're all enthusiastic about this, hoping that their socialist communist dreams come true. And the elders of the Democrat Party, they can stop this on the national level because they can control the levers. They can't stop it on the local level, though. I mean, if they couldn't stop it on the national level, you'd have President Bernie. You would have had potentially at least Democrat candidate nominee Bernie Sanders. don't know if he would have, I don't think he would have beat Trump, but he at least would have, he would have been, had the Democrat Party had a primary, a real primary, he would have won in 16. He would have won in 20. He would have won in 24. But in all three instances, they squashed it because the Democrat Party is the most controlling group on the planet. And they made sure to control the process every single step of the way. So if you think about the end of democracy or the threat to democracy is coming from, the call is coming from within the House. Okay, the call is coming from within the House. It's inside. It's the Democrat elites. They are the ones who are turning around and controlling this to make sure that people like Bernie are not in power. And in many ways, it's because they won't be able to keep their little powerful club. In many ways, it's because the same powerful people will not be able to keep enriching themselves. If you allow it to be a real grassroots process, this is what you get. Why? Because the Democrat Party is the party of socialism, the party of communism, and the party of elite college-educated white lefties who would love to see the police defunded and criminals set free because they believe that they are the true victims of society. Right there. It's there. It's right there. It's see with your own eyes. Hear with your own ears. It's all there for you. You don't have to look very hard to see it. All right, so coming up, what does the Supreme Court ruling today mean for ICE? What does it mean for Chicago? As we continue along here in our fourth and final hour before we get ready to turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Don't go away.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Jack Carr, that's right. He's coming back. His new book, and we're going to be there together. I want to see you there. Our politics and pints. One thing about Jack Carr, he's got a big following, so you better make sure you join us. And that is going to be on October 13th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center. On Thursday, October 13th, for the official Cry Havoc 2025 Jack Carr and Politics and Pints Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, me hosted at 7:30 p.m. at the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College. So get your tickets today. The link went live a little bit after 5 o'clock today, so make sure you get your tickets before they sell out. All right, good, excellent. And don't miss out on the VIP, baby. It's all about the VIP, the VIP. So, Supreme Court today ruling that President Trump can continue the ICE deportation raids in Los Angeles. Kind of silly to think that they wouldn't at this point. You know what I mean? And the other thing, too, is that as you watch all these other people. Oh, and that's right. Howard Stern, woke Howard Stern. Trolls listeners with a gag that Andy Cohen had taken over his SiriusXM slot. I'm very happy it's Sirius, Stern said amid rumors that his show was canceled. He gave fans a head fake early Monday morning with a gag that Andy Cohen had taken over his slot in SiriusXM. What a loser. He said he would address the topic. But today, I guess he said he'd been thinking of retiring, but said he felt he could not now walk away from SiriusXM, given media reports that the Howard Stern show was canceled. One of the positive things about all the fake news, according to Stern, was that he heard from other companies that were interested in picking up his show. But I'm very happy at Sirius, Stern said, praising SiriusXM CEO Jennifer Witz. Here's the truth. SiriusXM and my team have been talking about how we go forward in the future. They've approached me. They've sat down with me like they normally do, and they're fantastic. We've been talking. Stern did not announce that he had reached a new contract with SiriusXM. His current deal expires at the end of 2025. Now, I would just say that there's no doubt, obviously, that his audience is not what it used to be. He's not who he used to be. The fact that he's sucking up to the CEO of SiriusXM back in the day, he would always go after whoever was his boss, whatever station hired him, whoever paid his salary. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody else would want to pick him up. And then people might want to pick him up. They're going to pay him what they're paying him at SiriusXM. I was talking to somebody last night who said SiriusXM is over. She listens to podcasts now and said that Sirius is basically over at this point. I'm sure that's true. I mean, why would you have to pay money? Why would you have to subscribe? Because you could get it in the car when you couldn't get a radio signal, I guess. But now you could just get a podcast. I mean, we're always telling people, we're educating the audience all the time. Think about it, to not listen to the radio, to stream an app, whether it's the Odyssey app or the iHeartRadio app. You're probably doing that right now. And you might be listening on the old school radio, but you're probably listening on an app. We've been telling you for years to do so. As long as you have the ability to get a signal of some sort, I think satellite radio was good for when we would drive to the Adirondacks and there's a period of time between Lake George and Lake Placid where you can't get a cell phone signal and there's really no radio up there. That's basically it. But you know what you do? You plan ahead and you download some podcasts to listen to on the way, or download some songs to listen to on the way, or a book on tape. Anyway, Cry Havoc is Jack Carr's new book, and that's going to be together. We'll be for October 13th at 7:30 p.m. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a great time. Jack's the man. We have been talking a lot about quantum computing. Quantum computers. It's been a basis of a big part of Jack's last several books is this notion of the power of quantum computers, and then what happens if they go bad, and that's what we're talking about with a lot of these things. But Cry Havoc is the first Tom Reese thriller and the explosive origin story in the James Reese universe. Each shot brings a story behind Cry Havoc, a live Q&A, and a photo opportunity with Jack. So we'll have a live Q&A. We'll have lots of great conversation. I don't know if you started watching Terminalist Dark Wolf. I have not had a chance to start watching yet, though I've heard nothing but great things about it. I've heard it's awesome. And I'm just thrilled for Jack because he's such a decent guy. Miranda Devine with an excellent piece in the New York Post about why the food industry and the left really hate RFK. It is about the question of food is at the center of the MAHA movement, and RFK Jr. has said that the Biden dietary guidelines and the report looks like it was written by the food processing industry. The first closed-door meeting of the new MAHA commission in March resolved to rip up the guidelines and start again. We will make certain that the 2025 to 2030 guidelines are based on sound science, not political science, said Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins in a statement released after the meeting. Gone are the days where leftist ideologues guide public policy. Powerful food and beverage interests are implacably opposed to MAHA's dietary agenda. So Tuesday's hearing should show us which members of Congress are beholden to them. This is all going to come out tomorrow, Tuesday's Oversight Committee hearing. Oh, and there's also, you know, they're still looking into the president and the auto panel. I talked about that earlier in the show, but if you missed it, you can go back and listen to it. But they're still going after the President Biden and the auto panel, I should say. Former President Biden and the auto panel. Democrats hate RFK Jr. because he's an apostate who helped propel Trump to victory last year and because he calls out donations from Big Pharma. Some establishment Republicans don't care for him either and fear he is undermining faith in vaccines. But the faith was undermined by the real charlatans during the COVID-19 pandemic, who lied that the mRNA so-called vaccine would stop transmission and must be administered to healthy children and had no downside. That's true. Those were all the lies. Those were all the lies that they told. Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia last week even tried to blame RFK Jr. for the recent measles outbreaks in the U.S., when anyone paying attention knows that the origin was illegal alien shelters in cities like Chicago, Miranda Devine writes. He should blame the woeful leader Joe Biden for allowing in millions of unvetted, unvaccinated people and sending them all over the country. Measles is the least of it. Yeah, I always had a laugh about that, too. As the border was wide open, they weren't checking vaccine cards down there. They were not checking vaccine cards, but you could come on in. You could come on in into the country Even during COVID, you could come on in. You couldn't go to a play or out to dinner unless you had a vaccine card. But you can come in over the southern border if you did not have a vaccine card. That was fine. And in honor of our buddy Linda Kearns, as we kick off Be Nice to Matt DeSantis Week soon, Elvis fans will have some choice words for Baz Luhrmann after they watch his new music documentary epic, Elvis Presley in Concert, which had its world premiere Saturday at the Toronto Film Festival. They'll say thank you very much. But apparently it's great. And they have all this rare footage of Elvis Presley that they brought up. 59 hours of 60s and 70s Elvis Presley Las Vegas concert video and long-forgotten interviews to create the music biopic epic, Elvis Presley in Concert. Hours of tape. The collaborators, including Peter Jackson of Lord of the Rings, beautifully restored the trove of video they found and whittled it down into an electric glimpse at what the Nevada Nights with the King were really like. In this stage of his career, Baz Luhrmann keeps doing right by the King. He's the guy who directed the most recent movie about Elvis Presley. Let's see, he was an actor? No, he's a director. Austin Butler was the actor who played him. He did a great job playing him. He even sounded like him. But, yeah, so that's coming out. So Linda Kearns will be very, very excited about that. I brought up her name. I was speaking to a group of the Morris County Women's Republican Club yesterday up in North Jersey, and I talked about how we had to shift the mindset of Pennsylvania voters away from this mindset of the election was going to be stolen to we can win, and it'll be the most secure election of our lifetime. And that change, that mental change, was a big deal. And that's what we have to do in New Jersey now is to have people with the mental change that, yes, Jack can win. And my advice is every time anyone questions it, just say, turn around to them and say, just do your part and vote. All right. Let the rest will work out the way. Just do your part and vote early. Get that ballot in on time. Get it in early, actually, not even on time. Get it in early. And this way we can count you and move on to somebody else. You do that. You'll be doing your part, and we would appreciate it. All right, have a great rest of your night tonight. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.